of us could ever be deserving of. I'm thankful for all of His many blessings and the opportunity that not only that I have to be able to be among those of Life Precious Faith, but to be able once again to share a portion of God's Word with you. It's good to see each and every one of you, especially those that are visiting with us. Before I forget, in the foyer, there are about 6 or 7 Get Well cards. If you don't mind, before you leave, take opportunity to sign those and send those to, we'll get those in the mail to some folks who I know would appreciate those. And should you think of anyone else, that's only 6 or 7, as I said. And so if you think of someone else, let us know. We'll get a card in the mail to them as well. I'm sure they'd appreciate being able to receive that. I encourage you to take your Bibles out and follow along with me. Make sure that what I say is in harmony with the Bible. I'll certainly do my very best to give you book, chapter, and verse for the things that I say, to not go beyond what the Bible says, fall short of it, or substitute for it in any way. Our scripture reading was taken from Psalm 128, verses 1 and 2. The Bible has a lot to say about happiness, and it's akin to various other words that you find in the Bible, like rejoicing or joy, and other words that are akin to the word happy. Most folks, if not everyone, want to be happy. You turn on the news today and it's full of individuals who don't seem to be happy at all. But when you think about being happy, we sometimes have a skewed notion of what it means to be happy. And probably a number of reasons could be given for that, probably a number of reasons that folks will give about what it means to be happy and why folks are not happy. Perhaps one reason is because sometimes we base happiness on things that are fleeting, things that really don't bring lasting happiness. And you've probably experienced times when you would say, oh, I'm really happy, and then just a short time after that, you may not be as happy. Well, because we define happiness many times based upon our here and now, based upon the circumstance that we are in, and it's fleeting. If I based all my happiness upon a job that I had, well, if the time came that I no longer had that job for one reason or another, I'd no longer be happy. I'd no longer be satisfied. I'd no longer be joyful because I based it upon something that was fleeting, something that was just based upon a circumstance that I was in. If I based all my happiness upon material things that I could just get my hands upon, maybe money or other things, well, if I lost those things, guess what else would go? Happiness. And so we base happiness many times upon things that do not last. And I understand that there are a number of things that bring joy to our lives that are not forever. They're not always going to be here, but yet we get a sense of happiness or joy or satisfaction from those things. And I understand that, and I'm sure you do too. I want us to understand this morning that our happiness needs to be built upon things that the Bible says will make one happy. I gave you some words that it's akin to joy and rejoicing and words like that, but also the word blessedness. If I remember right, the word from which we get our English word happy from was rendered blessedness or blessed 44 times in the Bible. And so it's a word that simply means to be blessed and can be joyful and rejoice and be happy. But I want us to think about the question, do you want to be happy? Every one of you, I'm imagining, would answer in the positive. If I began with me all the way around the room, you'd say, yes, preacher, I want to be happy. If you do, then you need to do some things. You need to observe some things that are found in the Bible. The first one I want to point out to you is read in our hearing a moment ago from Psalm 128, verses 1 and 2. Blessed is everyone that feareth the Lord, that walketh in His ways. A lot could be said about verse 1, but notice verse 2. For thou shalt eat the labor of thine hands. Happy shalt thou be, and it shall be well with thee. You need to have a good work ethic. That's lacking in a lot of ways in our world today. And probably you could give a number of reasons for that. And I'm not going to pick on young people because it's not a problem that's confined to an age group. A lot of older people don't have a good work ethic. And there's reasons for that. But we've got to instill that in our young people especially. That things are not just given to you. A lot of people today expect that things are just going to be handed to you. And many times it is. I think of a number of people that I've known through the years whose parents and grandparents were wealthy and they just dished out to them. Well, guess what? They don't know what it was like to have to earn a dollar. Why? Because they never had to. It was just given to them. You'll destroy people that way if you just let them think that it's just given to you all the time. We need to work for what we have. Someone says, work is a curse. I beg to differ. Now, it was multiplied in the sweat of thy brow. Thou shalt eat bread, the Lord said to Adam as a result of what he did. But even before they sinned, as recorded in Genesis chapter 3, God expected man to be busy. You don't take my word for it. Look at the book of Genesis chapter 2 and notice a very simple statement that is found in that passage. Genesis chapter 2 and in verse 15. And the Lord God took the man, put him into the garden of Eden to do what? To dress it and to keep it. God has always expected man to be busy. And so we need to work and we need to work hard. I recently did a sermon. I gave you a number of things that we need to put our heart into those things. And work is one of them. Let him who stole steal no more, but rather let him what? Work with his own hands, that he may have to give to those who need. Ephesians chapter 4 and then verse 28. That'll bring happiness. When we have a good work ethic and we work and we provide and we do the things that God would have us to do. Many of you know what that's about. Many of you work and you get up early and you go to work and you work late or maybe you work third shift. Several of you are retired from working because you put a good number of years into working. Good for you. God expects us to work and to be busy. That'll bring happiness. But also, when you think about if I want to be happy, then there's a number of things that I need to do. I bring your attention to what's stated in the book of Psalms, Psalm 144. A good number of these are going to come from Psalms and Proverbs, and there's a lot, many, many things that the Bible says about happiness that we're not even going to talk about this morning. But in Psalm 144 and then verse 15, I want to be happy. If I want to be happy, then I've got to do some things and realize some things. Attain some things. Happy is that people. You want to be a happy people? You want visitors to say, you know what, I enjoy being among them. They were a happy group of people. Happy is a people. Happy is that people. That is, in such a case, say, happy is that people whose God is the Lord. So I suggest to you this morning that we need to serve God. A lot of people serve a lot of different gods, which you don't read about in the Bible. They don't serve the God of heaven. And they serve a lot of things, idolatry and covetousness, which is idolatry, Paul identifies in the New Testament. But we need to serve God. We need to submit to His will, not say, well, what do I want to do? I want to do what I think is best. I want to do what I feel like doing. Suppose every one of us did that this morning. A lot of groups come together and they just kind of do what is right in their own eyes, don't they? But suppose we all did that. You want to talk about religious confusion? We don't base what we do upon what I think and what you think. But we base it upon what the Scriptures say. Serve God. Submit to His will. I think about Hebrews chapter 12, verse 28. Wherefore we, receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us serve God, or have grace rather, whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear, for our God is a consuming fire. I ask you this morning, who are you serving? Would you answer, I'm serving God? How do you know you're serving God? You're doing what His book says. That's the only way that we'll know how to serve God is to pick His book up and read it. We've got to make the choice. can serve God and the devil. A lot of people serve the devil. A lot of people are the children of the God of this world, children of the devil, as Paul stated in Acts chapter 13. But in Matthew chapter 6, verse 24, you cannot serve two gods. Can't serve the God of this life and the God of heaven. Can't serve the God of money and so forth. For no man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, else he'll despise one and hold to the other. You cannot serve God and man. Again, that's Matthew 6 and in verse 24. But you think about what brings happiness. Serve God. You know, by the way, when the Bible tells you to do something, it has eternal ramifications for doing it. A lot of things we can pick and choose in this life, and it really doesn't matter in the here and now. It really doesn't have a lasting consequence, necessarily. Just indifferent about those things. But when the Bible says to do something, it has eternal consequences to it. And we need to understand that if you want to be happy, and I do, I'm sure you do, then I want to suggest to us that we need to find and retain wisdom. And again, don't take my word for it. The book of Proverbs is filled full about wisdom and ways to have wisdom. Two passages, actually three in the book of Proverbs I want us to think about. Proverbs chapter 3 and in verse 13. Are you listening to what I'm saying this morning? Don't zone out on me. Don't be thinking about other things that will take place after service, whatever the case may be. But listen to these things. If you want to be happy, Proverbs 3 and in verse 13, happy is the man that findeth wisdom and the man that getteth understanding. And then when you come down to verse 18, she is a tree of life, talking about wisdom to them that lay hold upon her. And happy is everyone that retaineth her. Find wisdom and keep wisdom. Kind of like the Bible talks about in Proverbs 23:23, when the Bible says, buy the truth and sell it not. And the Lord had a number of things to say about truth. And so we need to find wisdom and retain it. Wisdom is personified, by the way, in a number of passages, a number of chapters in the Bible, like Proverbs chapter 23. Verse 19, the Lord by wisdom hath founded the earth, by understanding hath He established the heavens. Verse 21, my son, let not them depart from thine eyes, keep them, keep sound wisdom and discretion. So shall they be life unto thy soul, and grace to thy neck. I encourage everyone, but especially our young people, to seek and retain wisdom. Don't go off with the misconception that you'll go to some institution of higher learning and they'll make you wise. Well, you may gain knowledge regarding what you want to do and labor and work with your own hands. We need the wisdom which comes from the Bible and knowledge. But also, as you think about being happy, how are you doing on being happy, by the way? What do you base it on? You've been basing it upon a good work ethic, on serving God, on finding and retaining wisdom. What about this next one, number four? Having mercy. The Bible says a lot about mercy. Probably a reason for that is because God is merciful. God expects us to be merciful. In Proverbs chapter 14, verse 21. Proverbs 14:21. A lot comes into play when you think about being merciful, compassionate, forgiving, long-suffering, just, and the list just goes on and on. He that despiseth his neighbor sinneth, but he that hath mercy on the poor, what's this? Happy is he. How are you doing with being happy when it comes to being merciful? Some folks don't take any concern about other people. I trust I'm not talking to people this morning that are guilty of that. But sometimes we might be, if we are caught up in the here and now, and all we have is tunnel vision, and all we think about is what I'm going to do, and I take no concern about others that I come in contact with. Well, it's their own fault. Well, maybe you know more about them than I do. Maybe it's not their own fault. Be careful about that. Be careful about that. Have mercy upon the poor. Some people are in situations that you've never been in before, that I've never been in before. And as a result of that, they don't have what you and I have. So don't turn a blind eye to those things. I don't know how many times that we've had individuals stop by the building since I've been here. I've only been here 6 years. Probably a number of people have stopped by before I came here and gave different reasons as to why they're wanting something. And I don't know how many phone calls that I've answered when I've been here at the building. I'm not always here. A lot of messages have been left on the answer machine. Call them back, maybe they're needing help in one way or another. I'll admit to you that the quick thing to do many times, the tempting thing to do many times is to say, well, we just don't do that. We don't have time for that, or whatever the case may be. I'm busy. Then rather ask the question, what's going on? Maybe sometimes we need to slow down and ask the question, what do you need? Why do you need it? Now, it may be something we can't help with, but it may very well be something that we can help with individually, thinking mostly. Slow down and find out. Just don't have a blanket statement, well, we just don't do that. Not too long ago, a gentleman called and he was in need. He had 3 children and was out of work, and a lot of folks are out of work today. Bills were due, and they were hungry, he said. They didn't have food, and he was just asking for food. He could have asked for a number of other things, but he asked for food. And he said, do you guys do that? And before I even caught myself, I said, no, sir, we don't out of the treasury help individuals who are not members of the church. But if you'd like to come to service, we'd love to have you. And before I could even get that sentence out of my mind, out of my mouth, he hung up. But I was thankful that day for a caller ID because I called him back. And I just got to thinking about that, so I called him back and I said, what's going on? And he told me a story and led to an opportunity to be able to at least help him in a way that I could, not from the treasury, but in a way that I could, though it wasn't much, but I was able to meet the man and invite him to service and to talk with him and leave some information with him. And so I just say that, I'll tell on myself and use myself as an example. Slow down and ask people from time to time, what's going on? Well, we just have a hard heart from time to time, and we just say, well, it's not my responsibility, it's your fault, kind of attitude. And we need to think about that. Some folks are poor, impoverished, because of no fault of their own. A lot of jobs have been lost during this virus. And a lot of people need help. And I'm not advocating helping non-Christians out of the treasury before anyone takes that thought and runs with it. You won't get far. That's not what I'm saying. But I'm saying as an individual, slow down and have some compassion and mercy on the poor. You know what that'll make you? Read the verse again. Happy. Find some satisfaction in that, some happiness in taking mind off self and having some compassion and mercy on others. Blessed are they who are merciful, for they shall obtain mercy, the Lord said in Matthew chapter 5 and in verse 7. But also, so we think about being happy, in Proverbs chapter 16 and in verse 20, Proverbs 16, verse 20. He that handleth a matter wisely shall find good. And whoso trusteth in the Lord, can you read the rest of that? Happy is he. It takes a lot of faith to trust many times. I try to remind myself and remind others that God has a perfect track record. Man will fail you, and oftentimes does. Man will promise you something, tell you that they'll do this, that, or the other, and then not do it. That happens from time to time. Accidents happen, we understand that. Things come up, we understand that. But not so with God. When God says, I will, you can take it to the bank and cash it, He will. Good track record, perfect track record. Trust in the Lord. Trust not in uncertain riches, but in the living God, who giveth to all men, and so forth. 1 Timothy chapter 6 and then verse 17. Trust in God. Daily dependent upon God. Give us this day our daily bread. We get caught up in tomorrow's daily bread. We get caught up in next week's bread. We get caught up in next year's bread. Give us this day our daily bread. God will not fail us. Don't doubt the Lord. There's not a doubt in my mind you can think of situations where you thought that things wouldn't work out. But you trusted in the Lord, and guess what? They worked out. I could give you a number of scenarios like that. Trust in the Lord. The next one is one that all folks need, and we need a good dose of it now. Come with me to the book of Proverbs chapter 28 and notice, if you will, verse 14. Happy is the man, that's what we're talking about. Happy is the man that feareth always, but he that hardeneth his heart shall fall into mischief. You know, while all this rioting is going on and all this turmoil is going on, one reason is folks don't fear God. They don't think about God. They don't reverence God. If you want to go that direction, they don't have a fear of God. They don't think about God. All they think about is, I want to do what I want to do because I'm angry and things here are not right. Folks, we're always going to have injustice among us. We're always going to have folks who don't care about other people among us. But we need to fear God nonetheless. I tell you, God is the answer. Jesus is the answer. The Bible is the answer. All this stuff going on in our country today and around the world would not be going on if people would sit down, open up the book of books, read it, and start applying it to their daily lives. You agree with me? But a lack of that leads to what we see going on today. The book of Proverbs chapter 1, verse 7. Proverbs 1, verse 7. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. Again, Psalm 128, verse 1 talks about fear. In Hebrews chapter 10, verse 31, it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. We need to have fear. We have love, absolutely. But folks need to have a good, wholesome sense of reverence and godly fear toward He who created us. One more point, though there's many more on the handout. As we think about being happy, all of these, though we could have come to the New Testament for several points this morning, have came from the Old Testament. And we've used New Testament passages. In Proverbs 29, verse 18, where there is no vision, the people perish. But he that keepeth the law, happy is he. I want to impress upon your minds this morning that you need to obey God. John 13, verse 17. You know, a lot of passages in the Bible talk about obeying. If you know these things, happy are you. Now watch this stipulation. If you do them, we need to know them. We need to do them. That is if we want to be happy. Have you obeyed the Lord? I hope the lesson's been of value to you. As we think about, or thought about rather, do you want to be happy? If so, then here's a number of things we've talked about. You need to obey the Lord. I don't know if everyone in the audience this morning has obeyed. Maybe you're here and you have, a good number of you have. You need to keep on keeping on. One of the points we didn't talk about was he who endures to the end. Be blessed. The Lord talked about in the book of Matthew chapter 24. Maybe you're not a Christian. You say, preacher, how do I become a Christian? Well, you do exactly what they did in the New Testament to become a Christian. It's never changed. It never will change. The same thing that made these individuals Christians in the New Testament is the same thing that makes us a Christian today. By hearing the gospel, believing it, repenting of your sins, confessing your faith in Christ that He is the Son of God and being buried with Christ in baptism for the remission of your sins. At that point, the blood of Christ will wash away all your sins. Revelation 1:5, He'll add you to the blood-bought institution, the Church of Christ. Acts chapter 2 and then verse 47. Maybe you have done that, but you've turned your back on the Lord. You've not been faithful as you should. You want to be restored. You need to repent of your unfaithfulness. Make confession to God in prayer. We'll pray with you and for you. Don't delay. Come right now.